Hello and greetings, everybody.
Hey, you started it and I didn't even know. Hello,
I everybody. Caught Sister Amon off guard. We're sitting here working on our separate notes and I decided to go ahead and start it. It's Brother Two Posts.
You scared me.
We are still here. Are we still here, Sister Amon?
Oh, we're here.
We have not gone away. We haven't gone anywhere. We haven't left this world yet.
Not yet.
And I want to give you a great thought today. I hope you're all having a great day. Here's a thought. What a day it's going to be. 1 Thessalonians 4:17, then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall ever be with the Lord. What a day that's going to be. And that's not pre-trib rapture, by the way. He's coming at the end of the tribulation, so be ready to hold fast.
Right.
So I wanted to start this out and share that with you, talking about the Lord's glorious return. This world's getting darker, but guess what? When he returns, his second coming is going to be brighter than ever, even though it's darker than ever.
Right. I did that audio for Sisters on, because you brought up Brilliance. Shine and the Brilliant. Yeah, I did that. I love that. Yep. Yeah, that's awesome.
Did we have a good, kind of relaxing but productive day, Sister Amon?
Oh, it was very productive. And it was kind of relaxing. Some of the days, all our days are very productive for the most part. Some of them are more hurried than others, but this was a really nice one. Nice, cool, beautiful day.
Yeah.
Lots of time in the park. Oh, drying all my clothes that we wore.
So we got up, broke camp. We call it camp when we park, even though we're not camping, we're parking. Uh-uh. We broke park, I guess we could say.
We broke park.
We broke park.
Yeah.
And we went over to a laundromat, and Sister Amon washed a load of clothes because it was right there, and we had a bunch, and we just wanted to do it for time matter.
I fell behind a little bit because we were busy and it was rainy and stuff.
And we found a really inexpensive laundromat, nice clean place.
Oh,
and
it was nice.
Gospel went out there.
It did, yeah.
And then we went to a park, and Sister Amon loves to do this. She hung them out on the line so they can air dry.
God dried them with the air.
And I plastered gospel signs all over our van. And what happened, Sister Amon?
Oh, we were
sitting there,
and two young men. Very young, well, kind of. I mean, one looked like a teenager. And we're asking about the van, and then they also noticed the signs on there.
Yeah, I thought it was funny. Interesting. I'm sitting there working online. We're parked, like, on the side of a road. And I see this guy come flying by on a bike.
Oh,
and he must have been going 40 miles an hour. It's only supposed to be 15 through the park. And he goes flying by, and it looked like a regular bike. And I said to Sister Amon, did you see that guy? She goes, yeah. I said, man. And then about an hour later, he comes whipping right into our little park area.
Him and his friend.
Maybe he's like 15. His friend might have been 13 or something. I don't know.
Yeah.
And he's got an all-electric bike. It looked like a little motorcycle. He goes, yeah, this will go 70 miles an hour. I'm like, wow.
That's insane.
He's like, is that your van? I said, yeah. He goes, that's cool. You live in that? I said, yeah. And he goes, can I see inside it? He was like all excited. Yeah. And I told Sister Amon, I love young people because they're like, they come right up. They're not oftentimes not shy. They don't have any inhibition, and they say, hey, how you doing? I want to talk to you. Can I see that? And it was pretty awesome.
It is. I love it.
Yeah, and so we showed him the van, and he thought that was cool, and I gave him each the gospel, and he said he knew the churches lie a lot, and the one young guy said he goes to Lutheran church, and I said, you test it to the word of God. They each got a gospel, and they thanked me, and they took off down the road, so that was cool.
Yeah.
And then we're right on a Frisbee golf course area.
Yeah.
Where must have been 100 people must have walked by playing frisbee golf today.
Yeah, they're all commenting.
They're all commenting. Look at that van covered in gospel signs. So that was awesome.
Yeah.
And so we got to do quite a bit of work online, and we got to do something that I really enjoy. And we put a video up at the top of our audio edification tab. I got to cook out today. I got my little cooker out. And Sister Amon got me some really good deal on chicken breasts. And they were like $1 a piece. Crazy good deal, roughly. And we made peppers with them. And we turned them into fajitas for me and brother. Because we were doing Bible study at the park after he got done with work. And so we put a video up of that. That was awesome. I love to do that. I love pure, simple things.
Yeah.
Starting a fire. We picked up twigs, made our fire, cooked our food.
Yeah.
And it was awesome.
Yeah.
Simplicity of van life.
Yeah, yeah, that's funny, because a lot of people, they just take all that for granted.
Yeah.
And for us, I'm just saying, sisters, for us to, for me to be able to find chicken yeah. that's not in a great big family size, right. you know, for a decent price, this is like incredible. Best of all, the gospel card went out
yep.
over that.
Yeah.
But yeah.
That's awesome.
It was nice to be able to do it because I knew Brother Tupos would be able to cook, and I was like, yay.
I couldn't believe how good that chicken tasted over the fire and the peppers, and so it was awesome. It was quite a Simple. Blessing. We shared it with a brother. We had Bible study there before he went off for the night. So, Sister Robin, what is on your mind today? Do you have anything on your mind? I know your mind's not empty. I know you empty your mind for the Lord, but I know your mind's not empty.
Is it my turn?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. You were reading the scripture verse when we first got on here
yep.
about the Lord coming back.
Yep.
And it kind of made me think about enduring to the end, because you were talking about that with Brother.
Yeah.
And I thought it was interesting how you made the correlation. Obviously, I mean, if you know the scriptures, you can kind of get it. But to put the two together, I thought was a good way to put it. The dispensationalists say that Matthew 24, enduring to the end, is not for us.
Right, just for the people in the tribulation.
Yeah, and then you said, go read Matthew 10.
Yeah.
Because that's not for the tribulation.
Yeah.
And a lot of people have a tendency to put both of those together like they're both tribulation and forget
right.
Matthew 10 isn't. So yeah. I just thought that was a nice way to put that. That might be a nice teaching on that.
Yeah, and there's a lot of other verses too from uh-huh. Paul and Jesus that talks about continuing, remaining, enduring on. It's all over the scriptures. You right. have to remain and endure.
Right, exactly. Yeah. So, I don't know, that was just a simple thought on there. I have some more, but you can go.
Yeah, me and a brother sat, Sister Raman was listening, and we talked about born again, and I mentioned that a lot of people don't know this. I just wanted to share this verse, that the concept of being born again is not just in the New Testament, John 3 and other places, 1 John. Actually, it's in the Old Testament, and I want to read a section of scripture from Ezekiel. I like the book of Ezekiel, chapter 11, 18 through 20. And they shall come thither, and they shall take away all the detestable things thereof, and all the abominations thereof from thence. King James, from thence, and I will give them one heart, and I will put a new spirit within you, and I will take the stony heart of their flesh, and I will give to them a heart of flesh, that they may walk in my statutes and keep my ordinances and do them, and they shall be my people, and I will be their God. So the concept of born again is echoed in the Old Testament. It's one place right there in Ezekiel, and I love that we always talk about you have things to do. I love how it says that they would walk in my statutes and keep my ordinances and do them. Hello, that's why God gives you a new heart. That's why he gives you the spirit. That's why he right. gives you the word. He's got stuff for you to do. He wants you to obey him.
Right.
So I wanted to share that with you in case you, any of you saints or seekers, you need to repent and obey Christ or you're going to lose your soul. We love you. We don't want you to lose your soul.
Mm-mm.
Maybe you didn't realize that the concept of being born again is definitely in the Old Testament. So I wanted to share that.
That's awesome.
And hold on to that. The gospel that we always proclaim and that we all live, you know, obviously the foundation of the gospel is Christ's death, burial, and resurrection. But a core of the gospel is being born again. Take that out
mm-hmm.
and you got nothing.
Right.
You're lost.
That was key for me.
Yeah, you're like you'd be like me and Sister Amon before we were born again, lost, nothing,
oh, yeah.
desperate,
right,
desolate,
not finding anything.
Yeah, amen.
Trouble.
Amen. And also, we were talking about testimonies today, and I just want to remind everybody a good thought that whenever you share your testimony, make sure that your testimony has the gospel laced in it, the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus, and faith in him, that you had to come to repentance. Talk about when you were born again. Talk about the fruit of your life, holiness and obedience, you know, coming out of the world and church and all that. And then mention that you're enduring in the faith every day. Because, see, your testimony, you know, a lot of people have a problem with this. They think their testimony is all about them. I did this, then I was into that, then I did this, then I was into that, then I went here, and then I did this, then I did that. That's okay to have some of that in there, but it really should be about, ready? It should be a lot more about what Christ has done in you via the gospel than about what you did or what you were doing. Does that
right.
make sense, Sister Amon?
Right, yeah, exactly.
So always think about that when you're doing your testimony. It's okay to say I went to college or whatever, or I was in this sin or whatever. That's okay. But make the focus, the majority of your gospel, about the gospel and about how Christ has transformed you. Because use your testimony as a tool to witness the gospel and bring other people along in the faith.
Right.
Not supposed to be about us.
Yeah, there are oftentimes we meet people who throughout their lives were seeking for the truth.
Right.
So they share how they were seeking and getting misled mm-hmm. and things like that.
Nothing wrong with that.
All the way leading up to that. Yeah, that's awesome because that helps people because it might correlate to somebody who goes, oh, that's what I'm doing right now.
But always share something. What God did in those things to move you along.
Exactly.
And always share the gospel. So it's got to be sprinkled all throughout there.
Yeah, and also what's going on after,
Yeah. So that was that thought I had. Sister Amen, are you ready?
Yeah, I have another thought on something, but are we doing something?
All right, I'm going to hold off on this. I'm going to let you have your thought.
Oh, no, I can do either one.
No, go ahead.
I didn't know when you said, are you ready? I didn't know if I was going to get asked if
you're going to get more. You're going to get more time. You want to save that for the end?
Well, I got a scripture verse to read at the end, and then I have another topic.
Oh, why don't you bring your topic right now?
Okay, however it works.
I want to prefer you and let you bring your topic right now.
Oh, it doesn't matter.
Yep.
Okay, it's all good. I was thinking, I was walking through the store this morning, grabbing a couple items I needed, and the music was playing.
Oh, yeah.
It was a song that I used to like in my flesh, and I hate the fact that my flesh used to like that. Like, there's all kinds of those songs and stuff. But the Lord has really helped me over the past years. I used to cry a lot in the beginning because the songs... I hated myself because my flesh still liked
it. They like torment you.
Yeah, my flesh would really love it. And I was like, stop. Well, as you mature and you walk, it's like, you just brush it off like a fly or something. But there are some of them. And I was standing there looking at something. And in my mind, I was going, Lord, you can just carry me over this. I don't want to hear this song. And I realized my toe was tapping to it while I was asking the Lord to help me just overcome that.
Flesh versus the spirit.
Yeah, and I was thinking, I got angry with myself, and I thought, you know what? This is Satan's world. Everything in it is his. And it made me think, this is kind of like Satan persecuting us with music and all the wicked talking coming from people, false converts that you have to deal with, immodesty or biblical nakedness.
Well, remember yesterday I talked about we're seeking the kingdom and Satan's seeking to destroy us.
Exactly. That's where I was going. And I was just thinking, you know, this is Satan's kingdom, and this is like a soft persecution of his God's people, us. So when we have to deal with that, if you got a job or your living arrangement isn't the greatest, or you got to go do things and have to deal with all this, to me, I was like, this is nothing compared to the tribulation.
Right.
This is absolutely nothing compared to going through that. And I just wanted to encourage us in that. So if you're dealing with all that, it's like, that should be easy to put down compared to what's coming.
Yep.
And so I was going to read 1 Peter 5:8-9 because that will encourage everybody that are in the world of his. Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour. Whom resist steadfast in the faith, this part right here too, knowing that the same afflictions are accomplished in your brethren that are in the world. So that might help you sisters to realize, you know, as you're battling your flesh and all these things keep coming up, and it could be a daily thing that you got to endure through. Everybody, all the other saints are going through it, and we're all pressing through it. And if you're struggling today, work hard to get strong, because it's going to get even darker.
Yeah, it's going to get worse.
This is nothing.
It's good that you're struggling, but yeah, definitely get ready. Set your heart, set your mind on the kingdom, because it's going to get much darker than it is right now.
Right, but the light is there for all of us. Amen. Praise God.
It's coming. Hey, and good job on that verse. You pronounced the word that we always struggle with. You pronounced it right.
Vigilant. Did you hear me? I almost tripped on it.
Vigilant. Sometimes we say vigilant. I don't know where we got that from, but it is vigilant.
Because of diligent.
Yeah, I guess diligence. We sometimes confuse it.
I don't know, but you know what?
We know the meaning of it, even if we say it wrong.
I was going to say, if I said it wrong, my sisters
would... Good job, Sister Amen. You got it right.
They wouldn't mock me for it. So.
Good thought, too. Yeah, get ready. Prepare yourself. Hey, real quick. So, young brother's working with his hands in a job to support himself. And he wears a tunic, and his tunic is loose. That's how it's supposed to be. And all his company said to him was, oh, you're fine with your tunic, but maybe if you could wear something to just binded a little closer to your body so it's not near the equipment. So my young brother, I had a good supply of belts that I use once in a while. So I gave him one of my belts and he puts on a belt and he said he likes it because he said he feels like he's like girding up his loins. That's kind of what you're talking about. Get ready, folks. All you saints, gird up your spiritual loins for what's coming. The terrible time of tribulation, persecution, what's going on now is nothing. What's coming is going to become much, much, much more severe.
Right.
And the closer we are to the Lord and His Word, the easier we're going to get through it. If we're distant from the Lord and His Word, you're going to struggle and you may not make it.
Yeah, if you're flesh-centered, self-centered, wanting something different that what you know, in your life and stuff, you're not focused on the Lord, you're focused on yourself, and you're not going
to
make it.
And I preach all the time in the street to these so-called Christians, if you're not dying to yourself today, giving up your TV, your pride, your vanity, your pagan holidays, your churchianity, your politics, if you're not giving all of that up today, you are not going to do it in the tribulation when your neck's on the line. If you're not living for Christ today with all that you are when life is easier, you're not going to do it when life's harder. You're going to cave. You're going to sign up for the mark of the beast. You're going to fold. You're going to compromise. You're going to deny the Lord. So get strong now while it's day. Jesus said, night is coming. No man could work.
Right. Amen.
Yeah. Amen. So prepare your hearts and we're here to help you do that.
Yep.
Now it's time, Sister Amen.
For what?
Are you ready? A little bit of marriage talk.
Oh, talk, not a question?
Ah, I got a question for you. Oh. No, actually, I'm going to give you a chance. I'm going to read a scripture verse, and for the ladies, for the wives, you're going to give me a commentary.
Commentary?
What do you think of that? So I want to read this, and we just want to edify you. It's just a little tidbit about marriage. We said we were going to touch on it every once in a while. We may do some more in-depth teachings on it sometime, but just in our edification audio, I wanted to touch on this. So we want to inform men and women to obey God's word in marriage. Don't we, Sister Amen?
We do.
All right. Ephesians 5, starting with 21, submitting yourselves one to another in the fear of God. So husbands and wives and husbands, submit yourselves to each other. All right. 22, wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands as unto the Lord. For the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the body, church. I like the word body, ecclesia, and he is the savior of the body. Sister Amen, give us your short dissertation, encouragement, counsel on how a wife can do just what that says. Submit yourself to your own husband as unto the Lord, for the husband is the head of the wife. What would you say to a wife about that? And Sister Amen's getting this cold. I didn't ask her ahead of time.
Well, I would just say, first off, it's kind of black and white. It says what it says, so it's kind of easy to understand. Wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands. So what we see is the headship order there. We see that in Genesis, in the beginning, how God says man will rule over the woman.
Right.
And then we also see in 1 Corinthians 11, we see the headship order in there. Paul echoes it in 1 Timothy 2. And I believe it is 1 Timothy 2.
Yep.
And so we wives should know the headship order, and we are to submit to the authority of our husbands. Yes, we are to be a helper, and we are seen as equal in the eyes of God when it comes to spiritual. There's no male nor female.
Yeah, you know, not less valuable, just a different authority.
Yep. And so when it comes right down to it, you know, husband and wives will be working with each other, however it is that they do in their homes, but the husband has the ultimate authority. And I have a teaching on the word submit, hupotasso, and that it explains how you're supposed to be putting yourselves under. Here, I'm going to go there real quick. I lost my thing right here. You're to be under obedience, subdue, subject, submit yourself, be subordinate. So if you think about the military, you know, you voluntarily join in that, and the captain's up above you, and then you get your sergeant, you get your master sergeants up above the sergeant, depending on what kind of military you go into. And you see the headship order in the governmental order, too, you know, with police and the governors and the president and stuff. And so everybody is to submit themselves to the higher authority,
right,
the authority line. So
now I just want to toss in real quick. So this would be submitting to men and not submitting to them if they ask you to sin. So
correct.
The only, I know. You know that. The only way that you don't submit to your husband is if your husband's asking you to sin against God. So you obey God first, then you obey your husband next. And if he ever encourages you to sin or wants you to sin, you must reject that. But in everything else, you have to submit to your husband as unto the Lord, which means you would obey what he wants for the house as long as it's not sinful.
Right. And then if we move on to as unto the Lord, so what that tells me is when I see something in the scriptures, I'm going to obey what the Lord says. Now, when it comes to a husband making a decision, most often a godly husband will talk to the wife, and he's not just going to be a hard-handed
like ruler. A lord over.
Yeah, do this, do that. You know, a godly man isn't going to do that, and if he does, he's in his flesh, and the Lord will take over him. But so we want to submit to the Lord. We're not whining and crying to the Lord. We're not pushing back. We're not nitpicking. We're just going to do and submit as we would as unto the Lord, and it shows a picture, kind of the replication of it. Christ is the head of the ecclesia, the body.
Right.
And husband is the head of, like, his household. He's the priest in the house.
Right. Yeah.
And so we just see, I know you read, submit yourselves one to another.
Right.
I'm going to let you go on that part if you were going to go expound on that, because you read that scripture verse with
him
here, and it's kind of a little different. Wives and husbands are not equal for submitting. He's not going to submit to her authority. She's always going to submit to his.
Yeah, and submitting yourselves one to another, that's like a whole another whole teaching, but it just basically is we're going to serve each other. In this case, husband and wife, we're going to serve each other.
Yeah.
The man is in authority. God's looking at him to lead. So submitting means we're serving each other, preferring each other, just like in the body. The body has elders and leaders, and the body has deacons, and the body has an authority line, but we all submit ourselves to each other under the word of God. So the husband and wife are submitted under the authority of God, the family unit. And that was very good, Sister Amon. I wanted to read verse 25 and just talk about it from the man's standpoint. So that was great what you said about the women. Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the body, the ecclesia, and gave himself for it. So, you know, if you do this, men, husbands, you're going to greatly influence your wife and increase your chances of her wanting to submit to you, especially if she's a believer in the Lord. That's what I'm talking about here. And we don't want to be the kind of men that demand everything, that have hard rules without discussion, that the wife doesn't have any input, because a wife should be a good counselor because she's involved in it too. So it's got to be something where, yeah, the man is in charge under authority by God, and a wife and the children are his responsibility. But men, love your wives as Christ loved the body. And that's a daily practice, preferring her, dying to yourself, giving in all things, and then leading by example, and then involving her, of course. And as the children get older, you should involve the children too, and that makes you a strong family unit. And the great thing about this, all of this that we're talking about, this glorifies God when we do it, because Christ is our greatest example, submitting to the Father in meekness and humbleness. And so we all submit to God, take our authority where we are, and then we all carry it out. But of course, again, loving, not lording over, not mean-spirited, never causing a wife to sin, and doing all things properly and in order without confusion, because we don't serve a God who's an author of confusion. Does that make sense, Sister Amon?
Right. Yeah.
I know a lot of men will say, look, she's supposed to obey me. And they forget the part where it says, love her like Christ loved the church. And a lot of women will say, you're supposed to love me and honor me. And then you go, you're supposed to submit to your husband and obey him. So it can become a tug of war. And we do get involved in counseling people, and we're always telling people, we either see the man in the tug or the woman in the tug or both of them in the tug. And if they would each do their part, guess what? They could pull together instead of against.
Yeah, dying to self.
Yeah.
If everybody were to obey the word of God and do what he tells us to, it would all work.
And we've had to learn that over the years, and it takes practice and time and forgiveness and grace and all that. So I just wanted to throw that little tidbit out there.
Awesome.
And yeah, we'll do some more of that down the road. We might do some advanced marriage teachings.
Yeah,
but
that would be good. There would be plenty of them.
Yeah, any other thoughts on that, Sister Amon, on that particular topic?
One thing I thought that you said was really good that might help sisters is when you said he's to involve her.
Yeah.
You know, that was a
absolutely
good word, because I've had sisters ask, you know, how exactly that works. And some people think that women are to be doormats.
Yeah.
You know, like Brother Tuples is saying, you know, some of them can be like you're supposed to submit to me and stuff.
Yeah.
Now, if you have a husband like that, as long as he's not causing you to sin,
right,
you're gonna have to bear it. Yep.
Yeah.
And bear it.
Like the man that comes home and says, "We're moving to Alaska tomorrow." He never talked to you about it. It's like, okay, that's really not a good way to run your house, but he does have the authority to do that. Most men would say, "Hey, honey, the Lord's put it on my heart. I'm thinking about this. I just want to share it with you. There's a chance, possibility. Pray about it. Think about it.
Yeah.
We may be moving, and we'll see how it goes." And then she can pray about it. And a lot of times the Lord will confirm in people that are united what things should be. Now, that doesn't mean if she disagrees, he shouldn't do it. But a lot of times, God will solidify it if it's really his will.
Right.
So, yeah, men, you should involve your wives. And Sister Amen's a great counsel to me. I'm responsible for the decisions in our home and our ministry, but she's a great counsel to me, and it really does help me. So I think God wants us to work as a team,
right,
and not as a guy that's a CEO with a bunch of underlings that he abuses.
Right.
Doesn't work that way.
Right, exactly.
So, yeah, just wanted to share that. Anything
that's
else, Sister Amen, on that? Why don't you go ahead and share what other, I think you said you had another.
Yep, I have a scripture verse I was going to share. Hold on, let me get to my notes here. Let's see, Matthew 26:41. "Watch and pray that ye enter not into temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak."
Mm-hmm.
And I was thinking about what I was talking about today.
A brother just sent me that verse the other day.
Oh, he did?
Yep.
Oh, because
he was talking about how he's overcoming his flesh. The spirit's willing, but the flesh is like, you got to kick it around to get it going because the flesh just want to drag you down.
Right, yeah.
Yeah. That's awesome. I had another thought for today. Sister Amen, you're going to like this.
Okay.
You haven't had a chance to listen to my verse by verse I just did on Philippians 3. I think I did verse 5 through 9. The link is up at the top of our page, edification page. But Paul talks about in this section of Scripture all he had and all he did as a Israelite and kind of a high-ranking religious man being trained in Torah. And Paul says all of it was dung compared to the knowledge of Christ. I want to read this verse to you, and then I got a good point I think you're going to appreciate. Philippians 3:8. "Yea, doubtless, and I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus, my Lord." Just the knowledge.
Yeah.
This isn't even being with him in person. This is just the knowledge of Christ, "for whom I've suffered the loss of all things, and I do count them but dung that I may win Christ." So you can go look up my verse by verse, and I think you'll be edified by it. But I just wanted to bring this point home. That word dung. So Paul, you'll see it in my verse by verse, talks about how he's circumcised, he's of the tribe of Benjamin, he's a Hebrew, he's a Pharisee. And I go and I teach you how he was trained under this man that was high ranked. And some people think Paul was going to be the next high priest, perhaps. This guy was headed right to the top in that religious order that God mostly ordained under Torah law. And he says it's all dung. Let me share with you what dung is. Ready? It's worthless matter. It's detestable things. It's animal feces. Can't get any more graphic than that. Here's the point I want to make. If Paul's life, living out, obeying, studying Torah that God gave us, or I should say gave Israel, not us today, the Gentiles, God gave Israel, it was God's commands. If that's dung versus the knowledge of knowing Christ, I have a question, saints, because I don't know too many, I know a couple, but I don't know too many true Jews that have come out to follow the Messiah. Our lives of worldliness, pride, feminization, pagan holidays, the false churchianity systems, this has to be 10 times worse dung to the knowledge of knowing Christ. You get what I'm saying? What Paul was doing was Torah law was under God. Look at all the things that we did in our past lives, and that man-made religion and evangelicalism and feminization and the pagan holidays. If Paul's life was dung, the lives that we all lived was far, far, far worse. So I just want you to ponder that, where you came from versus where Paul came from. And he says his was dung. We should definitely reject that all completely. And I find in my audio, my verse by verse, I go over it and I talk about how people will not leave their evangelicalism. They won't leave their pagan holidays, their feminization. They won't leave their makeup, their jewelry, their high heels, their Packer football team. They won't leave any of that stuff and consider it dung for Christ. They hold on to it. And it's far worse than the things that Paul gave up, which Paul gave up the things of God, which were the Old Testament, which was the schoolmaster. And I go into that in my verse by verse. So just wanted you to ponder that, how, where you came from, and look back at your old life. Don't lament over it. Don't be Lot's wife. Don't be looking back. Consider it all dung times 10 compared to what Apostle Paul's talking. Does that make sense, Sister Emma?
Oh, yeah, definitely. Good point. That's a lot to think about, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, just, I mean, think about it. He was keeping Torah. Yeah. It was God-given. He wasn't in some cult.
Yeah, right.
And it just faded away, and he says it's dung. Look at what we were doing. Look at what we were involved in. We were pagans.
Oh, I know.
We were religious hypocrites. Right. We were idolaters.
Yeah, we were fornicators.
Yeah, we were drunks.
More and more. Yeah.
I'm just saying all this so we can magnify how great the knowledge of Christ is versus all that garbage we had. It was worthless and detestable, just like dung.
Yeah, exactly.
So I just wanted to kind of lift you up with that and see the knowledge that we have of Christ.
Yeah, I love that. What a
glorious thing it is.
It is.
Yeah.
It's priceless. It's precious.
So go listen to my latest verse by verse. I go into it a little bit more. That'll bless you. We have the tab up at our edification page. And Sister Amon, I think you just shared your last scripture verse, right?
I did.
Yeah. We got a little video of us cooking up there. You have a sister's edification tab. What did you post?
I've got a button up there that goes to sister's post. Right. Of just sharing.
Yep. And then we have a button up there that has some witnessing audio.
Yeah, from there a few days ago. I just got those up.
That'll edify you. So we got a whole bunch of stuff.
Go down to the newest ones are loaded at the bottom of the page.
We got a whole bunch of stuff there for you. Yeah. And we're going to leave you with this one scripture verse, unless you have anything else, Sister Amon.
Oh, no, go ahead.
Reconciliation. I love that. 2 Corinthians 5:19-20. To wit, I like that, to wit, that God was in Christ, reconciling the world unto himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them, and hath committed unto us the word of reconciliation, now that we are ambassadors for Christ. You're an ambassador for Christ, Sister Amon.
So are
you, saints born of him.
And you too.
Yeah, as though God did beseech you by us, we pray you in Christ's stead, be ye reconciled unto God. That reconciled is like brought back, to be renewed to him, to be redeemed by him, to be once again united to him. We're reconciled to God by what Christ has done. One thought pops in my mind. I war against this all the time in the streets. People say, oh, I accepted Jesus. And I have to lovingly inform them, you don't accept Jesus. No Bible verse says that. In fact, the opposite is true.
Right.
The Bible says God accepts us because of Christ when we run to him and repent and plead his blood over us. So that's an awesome way that we're reconciled by the Father in heaven.
It's a priceless gift.
It is.
It's unspeakable.
It is. It's unspeakable. So that's it. That's all we got for you today. We love you all. Grace, peace to the followers of the Most High. Let us know how we can help you. Check out the gospel at our page. Check out all the resources. We're going to be headed down the gospel road tomorrow, working our way towards our next preach. And guess what, Sister Amon?
Hmm.
We're working our way towards our next preach, and we don't even know where it is.
I know. That's exciting.
Let's see what happens,
where we're going to end up.
Amen. So let us know how we can help you in the faith. And good Lord willing, we will come back again tomorrow.
And be zealous for good works that you were created for.
Titus 2:14, I believe. Yeah. And Ephesians 2:10, created for good works, let us all be zealous and let us seek the kingdom. Because as I said with the first scripture verse, he's coming back.
Yes.
Let us be the profitable servants, not the slothful servants. Mm. Goofing off while he's gone, let us be laboring for his kingdom till he comes.
Yeah, I like that.
All right. That's awesome. Love you all. Catch you on the other side. God be praised.